A new plan from the White House to merge big government agencies.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Later this morning, President Obama is expected to outline a new plan to shrink government. He's going to ask Congress to give him the authority to merge some departments and agencies. First up, he wants to consolidate six government offices that deal with trade and commerce. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale joins us live from D.C. with more. Good morning, John.
Hey, Jeremy.
Well, what do we know so far about what the president's going to announce?
Well, he's going to say that there's way too much duplication and inefficiency throughout the government, and he'd like the authority to combine a lot of offices that have all sorts of overlapping duties. For example, he'll say today that he can save $3 billion over 10 years by merging a bunch of trade and business agencies like the U.S. Trade Representative and the Export-Import Bank and the Small Business Administration.
Okay, save $3 billion. What's wrong with that?
Well, the problem is all these government offices are like little fiefdoms with powerful political sponsors. Here's Paul Light, a government professor at New York University.
All of these agencies are owned by congressional committees and subcommittees, and it's difficult to do without some sort of expedited authority that provides an up-and-down vote.
So the president's going to ask Congress to commit to an expedited vote for his government trimming proposals. And Light figures there could be plenty of savings. If the president could do this throughout the government, there'd be as much as $100 to $150 billion saved, which would be a tenth of the deficit.
But, John, is the president likely to get new authority from this Republican Congress, especially in an election year?
Yeah, it's going to be tough with all this gridlock, but Republicans say that they support leaner government and the president will ask them to step up to the plate, even though they're going to be reluctant to give this president any additional power.
Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Well, bank earnings season kicked off this morning with the latest quarterly results from J.P. Morgan Chase. The bank said the European debt crisis meant less corporate deals, which sent profits down about 25% from the same period a year earlier. And banks like Chase are having a harder time squeezing more money out of us consumers to make up revenue. In fact, as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, all the fees have driven some consumers away from banks altogether.
Many of the working poor don't use banks because the fees make the services too expensive. Now new fees could drive existing customers away from banks. Kimberly Gartner is with the nonprofit Center for Financial Services Innovation.
We're seeing banks exploring different fees on some of their checking account products or deposit account products. And some consumers, as a result of that, are choosing to go elsewhere for their services.
But some banks are starting to see the benefit of keeping and attracting low-income consumers. Carl Carandi is with KPMG. It advises banks about the potential profits from services like check cashing and prepaid debit cards.
With some of the advances and the supporting technologies, banks can provide these at more competitive prices than they had in the past.
The unbanked represent a big market. KPMG estimates they number around 33 million people in the U.S. with almost $500 billion in earnings. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in overseas trading this morning, up almost 2% in Singapore and up about 0.2% in London. We've got word that the video game industry saw retail sales plunge 21% in December. The drop is being blamed on a lack of exciting new hardware and a trend toward cheaper mobile gaming. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow bounced up about 21 points to close at 12,471.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email, Reputation.com.
Now to New Jersey, where the governor has just signed a bill to allow private firms to run some public schools. The move comes less than 2 weeks after the state of Ohio privatized several state prisons. For more on this wave of privatization, let's bring in Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Chris, privatization of public space has been going on for a long time in this country, at least since the Reagan years. Is it happening a lot more now?
Oh, Jeremy, it's happening a lot more now. Now, part of it is, you know, state and local governments are under enormous pressure, so they need to raise money, so they'll privatize some public housing, maybe the parks. I mean, they're moving all over, but it really came home to me last weekend. I was at a conference, Mark Udoff, president of the University of California, and he was bemoaning and talking about the privatization of the public university. You know, the sense that, yes, you get a degree, you get lifetime earnings, that's a really good thing, therefore you should pay more, but he's worried about that trend.
Well, obviously, these organizations, whether they be universities or governments, are doing this because they are low on cash, as you say. Is there any way around this, Chris?
Oh, yes, there is, because in an earlier era, there's a lot more taxpayer support. There was a lot more public support. The public university isn't just a private good. It also is about being citizens, about the knowledge in our society, innovation, creativity, you know, everybody moving up together. And so what, you know, I worry about, whether you're looking at universities or parks or even things like prisons, you know, are we losing the sense of a social good, a social compact, the commonwealth, that we're all in this together?
Well, is anybody pushing back against this in a big way?
I think there's an enormous pushback going on. Now, privatization isn't exactly on the tip of everyone's tongue, but 99% is. And it's part of this discussion. What's the good of private equity? What do we do about income inequality? How about social mobility? Has privatization gone too far? This is all part of an important, dynamic discussion that's going on in our society.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And finally, to the UK, where a storm is brewing over the apostrophe. The British bookstore chain Waterstones, that's Waterstone apostrophe S, has used that apostrophe in its name for more than 30 years. But now the company is shedding the apostrophe because it says, in a digital world of URLs and email addresses, Waterstones without an apostrophe is more practical. That's not going down well with John Richards, who runs, no joke, the Apostrophe Protection Society. He says the bookstore could learn a thing or two about the English language from the apostrophe haven that is McDonald's. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
For most, Friday is the end of a long, hard week. But for us, we're just getting started.
We're clearly in this cycle of healing again.
But it goes kind of up, down, down, up.
I think we discovered something wonderful when our credit got downgraded.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap. Everything you need to know about the week's big economic news and oh so much more. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.